A look inside Everbank Field as the Jaguars prepare for Week 12 in the National Football League. The San Diego Chargers are coming in this week to face the Jacksonville Jaguars. And welcome to Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. J.P. Shadrick with Jaguars.com, senior writer John Osier. Thanks.
Can you feel it?
I just felt that, whatever that was.
We're into the late season and it matters. How about that?
It's pretty fun, right?
It's cool.
I mean, it was cool,
cool
to scoreboard watch this past weekend with the Jaguars in the hunt. We'll get to that coming up. Plenty to get to on the show today. Jaguars this week in the hunt, as you mentioned. The Jags are a game out of first place. We'll hear from Blake Bortles, the Jaguars quarterback. And cornerback Devon House will join us here on set. He's been really good the last couple of weeks, especially. Let's start with that. The Jaguars trying to handle a little success here. They've won three out of the last four games. They're now a game out of first place on Thanksgiving weekend. How does a young team figure out how to handle that?
Well, I don't think it'll be a big problem because it's not like they've been blowing teams out. It's not like they've had that big upset win where all of a sudden you've got national media in here, which when that happens, maybe they start, you know, reading about themselves or seeing themselves on SportsCenter and think, hey, we're pretty good. The games have been so similar to what they were early in the season, meaning, you know, they've beaten the Titans, they've beaten the Bills, but they did it on a play or two. And I think this team knows it's not too much different than what was happening early in the season, except they've been making a play or two. So it's still a small margin for error. I think this team instinctively knows if we don't play well, if we don't do the things that we've been doing, maybe get a little better, then it'd be real easy for these last three victories to have gone the other way. So I don't sense that this team's going to have a problem with, hey, we're pretty good. You know, I mean, if they do, it would be surprising because I don't think that they believe they're good yet. I think they believe that if they keep doing the things they've been doing, they can keep winning. But I don't get any sense of complacency out of this team. You certainly hope not, because they're not good enough to do that yet.
A lot of important football left. We look at the AFC South standings. Of course, the Colts and the Texans are 5-5. Colts are 3-0 in the division. The Texans 2-1 in the AFC South. Jacksonville 4-6, and Tennessee and 2-8 at the bottom. You know, it's been different ways of winning these games, too. You know, the late touchdown in London with the rally there, just over 2 minutes to play. The Hail face mask in Baltimore, and then the field goal after that, and then the special teams came through and turned the tide last week. So different phases doing it different ways now.
Yeah, and still going back to the same thing of early in the season, couldn't figure out how to make anything happen late. And now they're getting things to happen late. It's a good sign that you're seeing the defense step up the last few weeks. It's a good sign that you're seeing special teams really for the first time last week have a good game. So I think that's where you're seeing maybe a little step up. Overall, I think the theme from what you just said is different areas doing different things. Maybe that means the overall maturity level of this team, which we've been waiting to have happen for a while because you've got so many second-year, first-year guys, new offense, all those things that make you think, okay, the first half of the season of a season like that could have some clunky times. Maybe we're seeing that clunkiness go away a little bit, and maybe that means you'll start seeing a few more of these things. Mature teams that are ready to win tend to
join still in both of those games, some key turnovers for the Jaguars quarterback. He's got to eliminate those.
Well, you know, you talk about the quarterback so much because his development is so key. So you break it down each week. You ask him each week about certain little parts of his game, and you almost get an element. It almost feels like the draft where it's paralysis by analysis, and you're talking about it so much that it's so hard to analyze a guy week to week because you're trying to find trends. And sometimes there's not a trend from week to week. Sometimes he had a bad game, or sometimes the defense did something different.
Or the plan was different
But the trend definitely with Blake is he's going to throw a ball or two each game where as soon as it leaves his hand, you hold your breath and go, I hope that one's not picked because it looks like it could be picked. You know, he did it against the Ravens. He did it against – he does it in most games. He knows it. He talked about it on NFL Network. He's talked about it down the hall. I'm sure he'll talk about it again today. Mm-hmm. He knows you have to smooth that out. He knows that at some point you can't stick the ball out and let it get hit away, even though that might have been forward progress in that game the other night.
Possibly.
I'm not so sure that was on him. But still, it's a carelessness with the ball. And when you say careless, you have to be careful because I don't think he goes into games thinking, I'm going to wing this all over the place. His instinct is to make a play. And there is an element of still figuring out what he can and can't do in the NFL. But I don't think he'll be doing this in 2 years. I don't think he'll be doing it next year. But for this team to maximize potential down the stretch, it has to reduce or at least not come in such killer circumstances, which is hard because you're always in tight games.
That's right.
So it's tough, and I'm kind of going over and over again because it's a tough issue to crack because it's really just a matter of him growing up a little bit and eliminating that one or two plays. The other night against Tennessee, he played really, really well, except for the pick, except for the pump.
The fumble. Right?
For the fumble. So that's sort of been the storyline a lot. He'll go two quarters, and you think, boy, he is playing well. And in one series, all of a sudden the pick, and it takes away 7 points you could have had out here. It goes the other way. So when does it change? I don't know. Is the arrow still up? Very much so. He's got a lot of good things that he does, and it's just that one little thing that's really the major thing. But when you're talking turnovers in the NFL, that's a major, major thing.
We'll hear from Blake Bortles coming up. But when you have weapons to throw to like Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns on the outside, the way they're playing this year, it makes you think that you want to squeeze it into a tight window to those guys. And we're getting close to some history here. Allen Robinson at, 129 yards to go to 1,000. He'd be the first Jaguars receiver to 1,000 yards in a season since Jimmy Smith in 2005. Allen Hurns is only 284 yards away from 1,000. The last time there were two in a season was 2001. So if they keep the trend up here and he keeps taking those chances and guys keep, you know, high-pointing balls like Robinson did last week, that's a good thing for this offense.
It's funny, you know, and back to Blake for a quick moment.
Yeah.
I don't think he would tell you that the interceptions have been on balls where he's taken chances with those guys. It's not like they're coming when he lobs it up to Allen Robinson for high-pointing balls. Mm-hmm. You know, so the 50-50 balls that everybody's talking about, I don't get the sense that that's really the problem. It's more just that one decision where he doesn't see it or he's under a little pressure. But anyway, the wide receivers have been outstanding. I think their development has been so much more than you realistically could have expected.
Mm-hmm.
This time last year, remember, Allen Robinson had the foot injury and was out for the season. And a year after that, you're talking about a guy who made a point in the offseason to get better at certain areas and did. You're talking about the same thing with Allen Hurns. He made it a point. He was going to get better at route running. He was going to get more consistent with his hands. These two guys both saw certain things they wanted to get better at this season and have improved on it. It's absolutely when you sign or draft young guys, you hope, and you don't really expect the development to be that quick. Foundation pieces for the future, is that what you're looking at? Definitely the two wide receivers are those guys.
Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank. Blake Bortles coming up. We'll hear from Devon House, the Jaguars corner as well. And speaking of Devon House, he's been a turnover machine the last couple of weeks. Two interceptions in Baltimore, the forced fumble, and the recovery last week on Thursday Night Football. You know, this defense as a whole, John, well, the first few weeks of the season only had 7 turnovers. The last 2 weeks they've had 5 takeaways. Mm-hmm. So they're almost equal to the whole 8 weeks prior.
Yeah, and you mentioned House. And if you look at the two free agents on defense that are really making an impact, Audric and House right now. And that's significant because oftentimes you sign free agents and it just doesn't work. Also, you sign free agents and you instinctively, because you've talked about them so much in the offseason, you go into the season open and you think, I'm going to watch these free agents. And you don't realize they've been practicing for about 4 weeks at that point. Mm-hmm. And they're not sure exactly what their roles are. They're not completely comfortable. They don't know. Now, all of a sudden, 8 or 9 weeks in, Audric's a huge reason why the run defense and the defense, I think, has started to get better even. I don't want to say getting better with Sendarik out, but they've maintained last week with Sendarik out. Otterick's a big reason the run defense is really stout. House obviously is a big reason why it's harder to go to that side of the field. Well, 10 games in, I think they're starting to get it and feel comfortable. Really, really good free agent signings are hard to get in this league. Mm-hmm. It looks like those two guys are it.
That run defense is still first in the league in yards per attempt on the ground.
Which is the stat, by the way, absolutely, that Gus Bradley cares about. If you ask him yards per game, fine. It's hard to control yards per game because his thing is if they run 40 times and they get 3 yards, you're going to have 135 yards, and we feel like we've done okay. Yards per carry is what he cares about. He believes that's what this defense is built around because he stopped the run first and he can get to the passer. They have to be a good run defense to be a good defense because they don't pressure the quarterback well with four. So far, that's what's allowed them to hang on.
That's the thing we'll have to watch moving forward the last few weeks of this season. Can the Jaguars somehow get pressure on a lot of guys that can throw the football? Phillip mm-hmm. Rivers, you got Drew Brees coming up. Andrew Luck might be back for the Colts. That's a question mark. You got guys back there that can wing it, and you got to get to them somehow.
And the whole theme the last few weeks with Gus has been, how do you find the right balance with blitz and with leaving guys back? Yeah. He doesn't love blitzing. It's not what he believes you build a defense around. He's had to sort of accept it this year that this front four is not going to get enough pressure with four, and you don't want the scenario where Brian Hoyer standing back there all day like they did against Houston. Mm-hmm. So they've changed a little bit. I don't think you see a ton of blitzing this week with Phillip Rivers. He's really good at beating and gets the ball out quick. It's harder to blitz that guy. But over the course of time, you're definitely going to see Aaron Coleman. You're going to see these guys who have been effective coming, I think, more often than you would have seen at the beginning of the season because now they know you have to get pressure somehow. You can't let the guy be that comfortable. So let's find the right balance.
Colvin's been especially good at that, has a handful of sacks this year.
And he's got four, which is remarkable. And it's funny, you talk to Aaron and you ask him about blitzing, and he's still got that cornerback mentality where he's like, he gets a sack and he's like, okay, it's great. But he still wants the pick. He still, I believe, is going to pass his defense. But his field awareness, and he's a football guy. So he knows how to play out there. He has good instincts. Guess what, Aaron? Sacks are going to start mattering for you. Maybe put him with a Leo. What the heck?
Hey, need some production.
With the shoes he wore the other night, he can play any position he wants.
He can do whatever. A lot of different shoes on Thursday Night Football. You know, you mentioned the pass defense by Colvin. But our guest coming up, Devon House, is second in the league in passes defense. 17, only Darby in Buffalo has one more with 18. This guy's been all over the ball this year.
Yeah, he really has. And there was a high-profile story where he was benched for a week for Dwayne Gratz. First of all, give Devon credit. Responded well. Never let that get him down. No player likes to be benched. No player thinks this should happen. But he responded well, and he's played better since then. So whatever it took, was that it or whatever, he's playing at a very high level right now. And maybe the best in terms of making plays that a Jaguars cornerback, certainly since I got back here in 2011, maybe since Rasheen on a couple of years where he had that knack for getting the pick six, Devon House, they thought that he had the skills in this defense to be very close to a lockdown corner. I don't know if he's a lockdown guy yet, but he certainly is a big reason why the defense is playing better over the last 4 or 5 weeks.
There'll be some injury question marks today, and Gus Bradley will speak to the media after practice today to update a lot of those. You won't hear much about those early. Dan Skuda is mm-hmm. one of those concerns with the groin injury, re-aggravated the groin, played through it, tried to, only had, 20-something snaps last week. For this defense, that's a big role in this defense.
Well, he matters a lot because he's a veteran guy who, you know, we talked about Aaron's field vision. Dan sees it. He's seen a lot before, so he can make plays at key moments by seeing things pre-snap. His experience helps a great deal. Mm-hmm. I talked to Dan very briefly after the Tennessee game, which is a really hard time to gauge whether a guy's going to play or not. He kind of said then, hey, I've got to get this right. He gave the impression that he really sort of forced his way back the other night, wanted to be out there. I asked him, hey, is 10 days going to be enough? And he sort of said, I don't know. Easily interpretable as, I just got done with the game. I don't know yet. So I'd be a little surprised if he goes this week. Thurston Armbrester has been good against the run. If he plays pass defense against those backs out of the backfield is an issue. With Phillip Rivers, that's a troubling issue.
Sure it is. Another one, Zane Beatles, was going through a concussion protocol. Could be back in the practice field today in a limited capacity with the, still in the
right.
protocols in the concussion situation.
I'd be surprised if he doesn't go. Okay. And it's so hard and risky to even say that with a concussion because you don't know. I get the impression that he'll probably go. He hasn't missed a game since he's been here. And as you say, if he goes limited today, probably a good sign for Sunday.
A few other issues. What do we have? Yeldon has been working his way back mm-hmm. from a couple of things here and there.
He came out okay, so I think yep. he's fine. You know, it's interesting. I keep getting emails about Denard Robinson. Why isn't Denard playing more?
Yep.
T.J. Yeldon's the guy we need to talk about because he has been so good as an every down back that he has really forced them to leave him on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Does he get more short yardage going forward? That's an issue. I think he will at some point. They haven't really been squeezing him out of short yardage, but he's a guy that I think at some point starts being more in the short yardage area.
Well done, John. Let's go down the hall. Blake Bortles speaking to the media.
Blake, how do you think TJ's been going the last few weeks, and what do you expect of him on Sunday?
I think it's been unbelievable. I mean, he's really been impressive since he got here, you know, after the draft coming in. You know, picked the offense up pretty quickly and, you know, was able to really excel in every aspect. I mean, obviously he runs the ball good, but he's good out of the backfield. He's good in protection. You know, so I think, you know, he'll only continue to grow and get better, and it's fun and exciting to watch for him.
From what you guys have seen from San Diego, they've had some difficulty stopping explosive runs. Is that something that you guys feel like maybe TJ can get?
Yeah. You know, it's definitely something that shows up when you watch the tape. You know, guys busting big runs. So, you know, I think, you know, it'll be up to the offensive line and the backs. Obviously, everybody's involved in that, receivers as well, in the run game and creating those explosives. And, you know, Doug talked about it this morning, you know, finishing kind of on the edge, you know, receivers and stuff out wide, you know, kind of getting an extra block and being able to spring TJ or Toby or Denard or whoever.
Aside from the fact that he's 6'3 and can jump out of the gym, what is it about Allen Robinson that has made him so successful?
Yeah, you know, I mean, those are being 6'3 and able to jump helps a lot, but, you know, I think, you know, I think his confidence, I think it's continued to grow. I think he's gotten more confident by the day, by the practice, by the catch. And I think it'll only continue to grow because he has, you know, really the ability and physical tools to do whatever he wants to do. So I think, you know, I mean, he's got an unbelievable head on his shoulders, you know, very level-headed and humble for the success he's had. And you know, he only wants to continue that success and continue to help this team, you know, be successful.
You guys, is he pretty quiet here normally?
Yeah, you know, I think he is. You know, he's a guy that the more you get to know him, the more he opens up to. And I mean, it's really, that's an unbelievable room, the wide receiver room in general. They're all really good guys, really good teammates, and kind of feed off of each other.
Things have gotten better in statistical categories all season long. Is the red zone just that next place to focus on? And from your study, what do you think has to happen?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think it's just execution. I think we got to continue to, you know, kind of pay attention to the details, you know, which was kind of, you know, what we talked about earlier in the year. So I think continuing to do that. But, I mean, I think we've shown the potential. We've shown success in the red zone. So I think we got to be able to, you know, find ways to make it consistent.
It looks with Robinson and Julius like you've got, you know, a team built to score.
Yeah. I mean, all the pieces are definitely in place. So, you know, it's now about the execution for sure.
You guys win a couple games in a row. You get to 4-6. Do you at all pay more attention on Sunday? Did you glance to see how the other teams were doing in your division? Or
you know, I think everybody, I think, realizes the big picture of things. And you always pay attention to teams in your division. You know, whether it's happened or not, you just kind of, you know, whenever you see, you know, Tennessee, Houston, and Indy, you know, you kind of just double take and see how they're doing because you know that they're in our division. But we're not worried about it and what's going on outside of this building. You know, we'll take care of, you know, everything that's in front of us.
A year ago, Harms was just another on guys for free. Did he catch your eye right away, or did it take time?
Yeah. You know, I remember thinking to myself, it was after one of the first OTAs. Yeah, it was like, I was just kind of like, how did this guy not get drafted? You know, he's unbelievable. He does everything really well. He's a high character guy, a hard worker, obviously, you know, tough as nails. So it was kind of, it was impressive from, you know, the time I saw him.
Do
So right from the beginning, you can see that he's
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
They're struggling this year, but Phillip Rivers really isn't. As you look at him, do you marvel at what kind of career he's had? And he is the ultimate franchise quarterback.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he's definitely in that category. You know, it's been impressive, everything he's done over his career. You know, there's, you know, there's definitely a lot of things that he's done very well and a lot of things to learn from. So, I mean, yeah, he is, you know, in that elite category, I believe.
Got four game-winning drives. I think the completion percentage in the fourth quarter isn't spectacular. How do you reconcile those two things?
Right.
How does that happen, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think as long as – you know, I guess things are successful. I don't think the completion percentage is as important. I don't know, because I mean, the numbers all kind of correlate to something, right? But I guess if we weren't scoring or struggling a little bit, then the completion percentage would be something to worry about. I mean, you always want to complete as many balls as possible. So I'm not really sure.
Tuesday comments of Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles, and we're joined by Devon House, Jaguars corner. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
Nice relaxing weekend, right? After.
Oh, yeah. Any time off ready for football and you'll be able to watch football on Sundays is great.
You're rolling right now, too. You had a big game, a career day in Baltimore a couple weeks ago with the eight tackles, a couple of picks, and then forced a fumble last week. Anything different for you the last couple of weeks? Why the big games for you?
I wouldn't say anything different, just been sticking to it. Like we always say, when they come, they're going to come in bunches, the turnovers. I was able to capitalize the last few weeks on the opportunities I got. Just got to keep going and stacking the success I have.
That's the defense as a whole, though. I think the first eight games, you guys had seven takeaways. The last 2 weeks, five takeaways. And it's just starting to become more of a trend overall, right?
Yeah, exactly. But the hardest thing is to do it next week. You know, do it week in and week out.
Devon House is with us, Jaguars cornerback, second in the league in passes defense. I don't know if you're a big stats hound or not, but what does that mean in terms of your play this year that you're right up there near the top?
I mean, that's good to know. I mean, I'm close to picking it, you know what I mean? So I'm able to get there and to get a hand on the ball. It will be nice to get two hands on the ball, but I mean, that's a nice little stat to have. Got to keep it going, though.
Devon, everybody's asking you about when you were pulled from the starting lineup and what happened since then and how you responded to that. It seems like you responded pretty well to that. How did you take that move and how have you moved forward from that?
I took the move positively. Did I agree with the move? No, of course not. I didn't come here to be a back. I came here to start. But, I mean, I truly believe Gus and the D's corner, they have the best interest in me. And ever since then, I've been playing great. So whatever they did, it worked.
That's the challenge, right? Because in Green Bay, you weren't a regular starter there. You had a lot of guys ahead of you, a deep cornerback room there. But when you come down here, you're brought in as a free agent to be a number one guy. But you had never really done that before. So you have to go prove it yourself, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like this year so far, I've done to me, it's never good enough. But to other guys, they're like, oh, you're having a great year. But to me, it's okay.
Devon House is with us. Let's get to some social media questions. You're a social guy, right? Social media, right?
I am.
What's your handle?
Just Devon House 31.
That's easy. On Twitter, Instagram?
Twitter and Instagram, and I have my own website.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to the website coming up. Let's get us some questions off Instagram. M.R. Thorsley asking, what has been the biggest difference between Green Bay and Jacksonville?
The obvious. There will be no snow here in December.
It snows a lot in Green Bay, I guess.
Yes,
right?
It does. Way too much.
What is the coldest game you've ever played in?
Oh, man. Might have been Tennessee Titans, my second year in the league, felt the coldest, but on temperature wise, it might have been playoff game against San Fran 2 years ago.
That does not sound fun. I'm mad about the last couple of days here in Jacksonville.
Yeah,
having to wear a sweater. Can't imagine.
I've seen a lot of people wear hoodies and stuff when it's 60 degrees here. It's just kind of different.
That's for sure. Jan Rodriguez 23 asking, the Jags been pretty good on defense the last few weeks. How do you keep it up against the Chargers? I mean, it's a great quarterback in Phillip Rivers. They're out a few weapons on offense right now, but it's still Phillip Rivers, and they can throw the ball around a little bit.
Yeah, for us, we just got to keep it the same. Stop the run first, and then contain the pass, and so that pass rushers get there to the quarterback, and hopefully he can make bad decisions, and we can capitalize on some turnovers.
Ethan Thrower, What's your favorite college memory? We're going New Mexico State.
Favorite college. I would say two for sure. There's quite a few, but two. First game I ever started, first interception that game, went 104 yards, and then I picked off another ball that game, and we won. And then
that's your only other two interception game, by the way.
That is true. And then the last game of the year of my college career, I had a pick six, which was nice.
In the last game.
Yeah, last game.
Yep. That's a nice way to go out.
And yeah, it was sweet.
And then drafted fourth round the spring after that. Dick Vogel, this is a practice question. Who is harder to cover in practice, A-Rob or Hearns?
Man, that's really tough. I might have to say A-Rob because he'll give you a little bit of everything. But that's a really hard question, though.
How about, all the above.
There we go.
They're both having great years on the other side. Let's talk about that website, devonhouse31.com. And you're doing some blogging on the site this year. Have you done that before, or is this new?
Yeah, I did it 1 year in Green Bay. I did it, and the fans loved it. So I figured I'd do it again here since it's my first year in Jacksonville.
So what do you talk about on the site?
I mean, a little bit of everything. Football, life outside of football a little bit. We'll have a new blog up probably Friday. About, what I did the last few days off and the games that I watched on Sunday. Probably what I'm going to eat for Thanksgiving.
Uh-huh. Thanksgiving's always fun, right? I mean, this is the team's off on this Thursday. Gus Bradley moved the practice schedule around. So Thanksgiving plans, what do you got going on that day?
A lot of eating and a lot of laying around watching football.
You got to be careful with that, right? I mean, especially the big guys on this team, right? You have to kind of manage what you eat on Thanksgiving.
Yes, they have to manage what they eat. Not me.
Not at all.
Nope.
All right, favorite Thanksgiving food then, what do you got?
For me, of course, the typical ham and turkey. When mom makes her turkey with the gravy and some cornbread, delicious.
That sounds pretty darn good. Let's talk about this game coming up Sunday. You've never faced off head-to-head against Phillip Rivers. You were a rookie when the Chargers and the Packers played, but you were inactive that game. That was a game that Rivers threw four touchdowns, three of those to Vincent Jackson, another to Antonio Gates. So you've seen it firsthand, or he and Rodgers going back and forth where that can happen, where he has some things going down the field. What is the challenge of Phillip Rivers as a corner?
I mean, it's tough. I mean, it's crazy that they're 2-7. They're probably the best 2-7 team I've ever seen. So with this week, we're not taking this week lightly at all. Mm-hmm. It's a big game. Rivers is an elite quarterback. The stats you just threw out there. Mm-hmm. It's not just him. I mean, it's a ton of Gates too, and he's back and he's healthy. I mean, they're gonna be really dangerous.
What's this Jaguars team in the hunt? Do you guys watch the standings? Do you look at – I know you watch some other games. That happens when you're off on a weekend. But what's the feel in the room now? You're used to this kind of feel, though, in Green Bay. That team's always in it. This is a brand-new feel around the Jaguars organization to be in the mix on Thanksgiving weekend. How are they handling it?
Everyone's handling it good. We still know that we still got to do what we need to do. There's still things we need to clean up. So if we continue to worry about, did Tennessee lose or did the Colts win or lose, we're not focused on the things we need to focus on, and that's getting better. And there's still plays out there, offense, defense, and special teams that's getting left out on the field that we're going to make the corrections, and hopefully we can make those plays on Sunday.
You put it all together, and it's going to be a blowout, right?
Hopefully. That's how it's written on paper.
Yeah, that'd be nice. A lot of close games this season for the Jags. Devon, we appreciate your time. Good to see you here.
Thank you.
Devon House joining us on Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank. Join us on Sunday as the Chargers come to town. Longtime partners the Jaguars are of the greater Jacksonville area, USO. And the Jags are on a mission to fill EverBank Field with local vets and active duty military this Sunday. We thank our hometown heroes. Contribute today at JaguarsSaluteToService.com. Our thanks to John Ozier, Jaguars.com senior writer. You heard from Blake Bortles, and our thanks certainly to Devon House, Jaguars Corner, for joining us as well. For everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. That's it for today on Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank.